This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody. Weather at least calming down a little bit. Boy, it rained hard yesterday. That was just absolutely incredible how hard it rained, but got through that. And, of course, we're heading into a weekend of good football. Well, I guess the SEC is now starting. I still have some games that have been canceled because of the COVIDs and all those different things. Got a good football weekend, a great game on Monday with Kansas City and Baltimore. Good one tomorrow, which will be high scoring between Dallas and Seattle. But, of course, here we are taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get you up to date with some headlines. Well, the Mariners, who were eliminated from the playoffs the day before on Thursday, ended up losing in Oakland, but what a game it was. It was scoreless through nine innings. Kikuchi was able to pitch very well. You say Kikuchi doing a very good job and, you know, getting a shutout, at least as long as he was in the game. But in the bullpen, Gerber came out and gave up three runs in the bottom of the 10th. And so the Mariners end up losing. They're with 25-32. They've got a doubleheader today, starting a little bit about 1:10 as they try to wrap up the series. Next to last day, Houston, by the way, did clinch. They're in the playoffs right now. There's still two NL teams waiting to get in. As far as wild cards. So those things are still up in the air. But nevertheless, a pretty good situation. Been a good season for the Mariners as they go. Boy, injuries around the National Football League, just absolutely devastating. There are so many that you have to worry about. First off, you've got the Seahawks right now. You know, they had to put Bruce Irvin on IR. Philip Dorsett's on IR for 3 weeks with a foot injury. You know, they lose Marquise Blair. And now there's questions about Benson Mayoa. You know, he's questionable. Same thing with a knee injury right now that's got, Quentin Dunbar questionable. And then, of course, they did put Rasheem Green on the injured reserve list for 3 weeks. So he's got that neck injury that's still not getting any better. And, of course, the Cowboys, they're in bad shape. They're going to be down. There's top two cornerbacks. Chido Awuzie ended up going. He's going to miss the game. And then, of course, they still don't know about Tyron Smith, their left tackle. They still don't know even about DeMarcus Lawrence, because he's got a knee injury that's been bothering him all week. So those are going to be big. Of course, as you know, it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, not going to be around for a while because he's got the punctured lung. So there's just lots of injuries around the NFL. Again, last week was one of the worst weekends, week two, I've ever seen for injuries in the NFL, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing this fine Saturday morning?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, doing great, you know. But, you know, you're talking, boy, it's a war of attrition in the NFL as far as staying healthy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gee. I mean, Mr. Clayton, the 49ers, oh, my word. I mean, oh. Is Jimmy Garoppolo playing?
No, he's out. They scratched six. How about this? Of the opening day 46-man roster, they've already got 11 guys that are injured. 11 out of 46. So yesterday, they scratched George Kittle. They scratched Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Artello Witherspoon, the cornerback. He right now is questionable with a hamstring injury. They are in absolutely horrible shape.
Jeez. Then to top it off, on the defensive side of the ball, losing two of the top defensive line players with what's his name going out. Oh, geez, that's not Thomas. That was the main staple to me of their team, was their defensive line.
Oh yeah. Well, and then of course they don't even have Dee Ford.
Yeah,
who they traded a second round pick to get.
Wow. I mean, that's an interesting game. I mean, I know they're playing the Giants, and the Giants suffered a major one, too, by losing the little running back.
Mm-hmm. They lost in that game. They ended up losing two running backs because Rasheem Mostert, he's out with a knee injury, and Calvin Coleman's out with a knee injury.
Wow. Like, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, I don't know how. That Prescott is going to have to put up 100 points. I mean, that defense is atrocious.
Yeah, it is.
It is bad. Do you think the rash of injuries is because of the lack of OTAs?
Yep.
And mini camps coming into the year?
100%. Yeah. I mean, because and it's so it was predictable. That's the thing that's so different about that, because if you go back to 2011, when there was a lockout, you had a 44% spike in hamstring injuries. You had a there was a double the amount was fit more than 50 ACL injuries during the course of the year, and Achilles tendon injuries ended up doubling. So, yeah, I mean, this was very, very predictable.
Wow. Wow. I see the Saints scratch big Mike Thomas again this week coming up.
Yeah.
Do you feel Drew Brees is having a problem as far as his ability, or you think it's just the team itself hasn't got off to the right foot? Because sometimes they have a tendency of starting slow at the start of the year.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm starting to worry about that because what I'm starting to worry about is Drew Brees. Because what he's just what six just over a little bit over 6 yards of pass, and his completion percentage is down. I think what he's no, it's 6.9 for attempt. Which, but I don't know. When you watched the game Monday night, did you start to think, are we starting to see a big decline in Drew Brees? Because you know, each year in the last couple of years, he would get into the final month or so, second half of the season, and not throw as well. What was your thoughts on Brees?
You know, that's the thing. That's the thing. Is it starting to show that his decision making is not keeping up with his athleticism? It's a possibility that happens as you get older in life. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And you could possibly start to be looking at that right now. Now, he's not on page with Emmanuel Sanders. He's having some plays that out there that he. His throws are ill-advised. It's a wait-and-see situation, but it's starting to put that doubt in your mind about him, that he could possibly be having those issues right now as far as that's concerned. We'll find out.
But again, it is different when you take away a receiver who gets 150 catches. So here's a guy that you target like 13, 14 times. He gets 9 catches per game, and certainly that has to be a factor.
It definitely plays a big part in the way Mike Thomas plays. Mm-hmm. It definitely plays a huge part in the way that he. So we'll hold off judgment until if and when Mike comes back. And see how he gets to jail with some of these other guys that's out there on his team.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I think Alvin Kamara is doing fantastic. I think he's looking back healthy now compared to what he did last year. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of running backs, look at the kid at Carolina. Now, he's out with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow. That's going to be a problem. Right quick, a couple of these games or something, Mr. Clayton. We got a lot of 0-2 teams, 2-2 teams. That Rams-Buffalo game, what do you think about that?
That's a good game. I mean, Rams have surprised me. I didn't know what they had left. With all the losses they've had in the last couple of years, because, I mean, when you look at their defense, other than Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Victor Rapp, because you know him here from Seattle because he went to UW. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you even name any of the starters? You can't. I mean, you don't know who they are.
No. Yeah. The Rams, let's say, they played the Cowboys in the first game, and they played, I think it was the Jets in the second, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's his whole judgment, because Buffalo does have a pretty good defense. I think Josh Allen is starting to play a lot better football with Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
They got some nice weapons over there with Diggs and those boys. You know, nice little running game, good coaching staff. That's going to be a pretty good game.
No, I think that's one of the better. That's probably one of the sleeper games and a very good game. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very intriguing to watch that. The Chargers, how did Tyler, I mean, did that doctor just make a mistake and puncture his lung when he's giving
him
happens. That shot?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't intentional, obviously, and it wasn't malpractice or anything like that, but it just was not a good situation.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey,
what about the Kansas City-Baltimore game? Now, that's a game that's pretty intriguing.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great one.
That's going to be very, I tell you one thing
it's
about
one of the games
Baltimore.
Of the year, I think.
Was that Mr. Clay?
It's one of the games of the year.
Oh, yeah. The thing that's intriguing about Baltimore is not only their offense, but, man, they lose so many players on defense sometimes in free agency and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and they still maintain a high excellence on the defensive side of the ball.
Agreed.
You ever notice that, Will?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable how they maintain that during a year of free agency where, I mean, what, 2 years ago they lost both of their darn near half of the starting of their defensive line,
mm-hmm.
and they still posted a real quality defensive line. Is that just too,
no? I mean, they have great scouting without any question.
Oh, they've got to, Mr. Clayton. I mean, this is just remarkable.
Because again, yeah, it's like Ozzie Newsome was fantastic. I mean, he was one of the best general managers of his era. Or in this generation, and Eric DaCosta is doing also. He's come in there and hasn't dropped off at all.
No, the ball keeps rolling as far as that's concerned. With that, with the way they do their operations over there, is Philip Rivers and the Colts. What do you think? They got their first win. I know it's the Jets. They probably will win. What do you think about the Colts, Mr. Clayton?
I still like them. I mean, I still was mm-hmm. stunned that they lost that opener to Jacksonville. That caught me totally by surprise. But, no, I think that they got back, and they've had some injuries, but Philip got back. I mean, he threw too many short passes. I mean, what, in the first game against Jacksonville, he was like 17 for 17 throwing to running backs.
Do you think all those quarterbacks are just a little off kilter due to the situation that they're dealing with right now?
No.
Some quarterbacks?
No. I mean, it's the game right now is total offense. And what you're seeing uh-huh. is that, there's like 10 quarterbacks completing 70%+ of the passes. Russell Wilson's at 82. Scoring is at an all-time high for the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, no, it's an offensive game right now.
Yeah, the defenses haven't caught up with them yet.
No, not at all.
I thought the defense would have been ahead of the offense, but it reverted itself.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It kind of took a lot off kilter there as far as it's concerned. Another team that really surprised me, it looked like they're bouncing back real good, was the Cleveland, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Ben Roethlisberger is starting to get back into his form as far as throwing the ball.
Uh-huh.
The defense is real good. I like what they're doing over there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, I think that right now I think the four top teams in the AFC, Kansas City, Baltimore, we'll see who wins to say who's number one, Pittsburgh number three, and then Buffalo number four. Tennessee's right in there. New England looks like they still may be in there. But, hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, we'll talk next Saturday, my friend.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
John, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? You happy with the start?
Oh, my, John. 2-0, and I'm just kind of pinching myself here. I'm happy to say you and I were both wrong about the outcome of Monday night's game.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I don't think Drew Brees is on his last leg.
I don't either.
He'll be just fine, in my opinion. I just think that he does miss Michael Thomas. There's no question about that. But I wanted to speak to you about two things. One is Mr. Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
And the passing of Gale Sayers. And the Kansas Comet is what they called him out of the University of Kansas when George Halas drafted him in the early 60s. And he was a comet, if you think about it, not only how he played, but then, he in the Hall of Fame, I think he was only in the league, John, for 6 years. He had the shortest tenure of anyone that was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think that's still the record, if I'm not mistaken.
But the thing is, and of course, that always is a factor, how long you do it. But, I mean, once you watched him play, there was never any doubt he was that good.
And this is the great thing about, YouTube and NFL films, because I sat on the couch with my son. And I go, I've told you about Gale Sayers. Now we're going to watch something about Gale Sayers, and you'll understand why I think the way I think about Gale Sayers.
Mm-hmm.
He was enthralled. He really was. He's going, wow. Really? Wow. I was like, oh, that's all he would say.
Right.
So,
right.
Look, the guy was such a gentleman off the gridiron too, John. And from all indications, a really great guy. And I'm just sad that he's passed. And when I was a kid growing up, and this is, of course, going to date me a bit, and for maybe some of your audience, but, you know, when we were kids, we didn't have, you know, ESPN and all the highlights. Even on the local broadcast, they didn't have the highlights. But on Saturday afternoon, where I grew up in L.A., we got to watch highlights of NFL films. They would show one segment for a half hour, another segment for another half hour. Usually it was highlights of some game or some team, and occasionally they'd come up with one about the Chicago Bears or a particular player like Gale Sayers or Dick Butkus, two of my all-time favorite players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you learned about the game, John. And that's how I learned about the game as a kid, going, wow, gosh, I want to play football, you know? So, you know, just great memories of him and what he did and what he accomplished, and not only on the field but off the field. So, you know, my heart goes out to him and his family. He was a great player, John.
77 years old.
Yeah, great player. John, the Raiders are now 2-0, and the most remarkable stat I think that is out of the team so far is the lack of penalties, John. Six penalties combined for two games. I can't believe that.
Well, I think it's a league-wide thing because
is it? Okay,
there was so far it's been averaging like about 11, a little over 11 penalties per game, and you know, the 179 penalties that have been enforced over the first 2 weeks is the lowest since the merger.
I see. Interesting. Because I wanted to ask you about that, whether you've been looking at the data on that, and I'm sure you have.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
glad you gave me some clarification. Because, I mean, the Raiders not being penalized is pretty remarkable. Three for each game.
Yeah, but
I mean,
how about the Saints? They're the ones that got penalized the most.
I was going to say, they need to clean their act up. My gosh, I mean, they were just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I just couldn't believe it. Really an undisciplined display for a Sean Payton coach team, or for that matter, Dennis Allen coach team
right.
on the defense. And I just thought that was just really, really unfortunate that there were so many penalties. I never like to see that in a game, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm you know what, the Raiders went out there and they, you know, two running plays of Josh Jacobs and a slant, and two running plays to Josh Jacobs and, you know, and a post. Two running plays and a bubble screen. I mean, they just kept at it. And Darren Waller, everyone, you know, a lot of people were skeptical, but, oh my gosh, he really did put on a display, John.
Oh, he looks great. I know that the talk in New England is that the cornerbacks are all talking about Waller and how he's the main guy to stop. Now, of course, you know that Henry Ruggs is not going to be able to play. He's already been scratched. You know that
okay.
Josh Jacobs is, you know, he's questionable, but he should be able to play. But you have to kind of worry a little bit about the injuries. And then what happened to Richie Incognito? I know he's been bothered by that Achilles, a sore Achilles, but now they put him on injured reserve.
Well, if actually think about it, it's a wise decision because he if you can this year, you can be put on IR to a minimum of 3 weeks.
Right.
And their schedule plays out where they have three games and then they have a bye, which actually ended up being 4 weeks for an old veteran like that to kind of heal up and just, you know, decompress and let him try to get better. And, you know, you don't want to really screw around with an Achilles, John. And,
no.
And so it's not ruptured, but it's been strained. And so, I mean, you know, he's on a big frame. Let's face it, he's a big kid. So, you know, and he's been playing so well. I think he was playing at a Pro Bowl level last year. So they're going to take their time with that. The good thing is that Mike Mayock, he drafted a good offensive lineman out of Clemson, played tackle and guard. And, you know, they stuck him in their guard. And then the mm-hmm. other interesting thing is that, you know, after three plays, Trent Brown goes down and doesn't play again. And so then they insert his replacement, a guy named Sean Young, and he injures the groin in the next play.
Yeah.
And so they end up putting a guy named Denzel Good out there, but he had played tackle in college, and he's been an assigned guard, but in a Tom Cable system, they're interchangeable. And he talked a bit about that earlier this week, how his inspiration and his mentor was Alex Gibb, one of the greatest offensive line coaches around. And so he should be given some credit too, by the way. I think that it's really done a masterful job, not only last year when a lot of criticism was being waged against him early on, but this year is good as well. So he's doing a good job with the silver and black this time around. And I know that the Seahawks fans may not look kindly upon that, but I think that's happened.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John.
Okay, let's go to Tony in Seattle. Hey, Tony. Let's go to John in Mount Vernon. Hey, John.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, regarding the Hawks D-line, and obviously if they're not blitzing, they're not getting pressure. What are you hearing about Darrell Taylor? Is he running yet?
He's still behind. I mean, I guess Pete talked a little bit about that. Pete Carroll talked a little bit about it yesterday. And the idea is, I guess, when the because of the pandemic, he really couldn't go into full training. And so that's kind of delayed things. So it's kind of a tough break. But, it is what it is.
Yeah, so they don't know. They're not talking whether the bone's healed or he's going to need another surgery.
No, they're not saying it. There's no damage done. It's just that he's just not ready yet.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, hey, one last thing. What are you hearing about Ben's elbow with Steelers?
He's fine. It was funny. After the first game, he says, my body's sore. And you know, he took a knee injury, but he was able to play through that. But he says the elbow feels great. And you can see he's off to a great start.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for your time, John.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
Oh, buddy.
I'm all choked up because of the Jets.
Oh, I'm more than choked up. I need that Prozac. I need it fast. You better call eScripts and get Amazon on top of it because I don't even want to see this week.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's really bad, John. There are a few good takeaways in that. I mean, Becton's the real deal. The kid played a really good game. Quinton Williams is really stepping up. He's improved his game. Other than that, I got very little for you. Yeah, Darnold threw a couple of nice balls that weren't caught. Looked a little better this week. But outside of that, I got nothing. This team is just pathetic.
Yeah, they really are. I mean...
You can't put your finger on one thing. So basically, I think what we're just looking at is just one long, drawn-out audition for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
This is going nowhere fast.
Yeah, I mean, they've really got to pick up the idea. How soon do you make a change as far as the head coach?
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, the new question because I just don't see things getting that much better. I mean, you can point to some of the injuries, but, man, everybody's got injuries. It's just they're just not deep enough to be able to fix the injuries. The offensive line played a little bit better, but, man, there's a huge problem in those guard and center play. It still was not very good. The tackles played well. But outside of that, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for the offensive line to gel. And, you know, being, you know.
Well, now they got six starters out this week, including two on the offensive line. George Fant's not going to play. Connor McGovern, the center's not going to play. I mean, it's horrible.
But, John, it riddle me this. How does Fant pick up a concussion on, what was it, a Thursday practice?
Yeah.
Practice on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
A concussion. So he's done. How the hell does that happen?
This team, it seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. And I just don't understand what's – there's something internally wrong. Now, the one thing I will say that the defense – looks an awful lot like the Bulls' defenses as well. They can't get off the field on third down. And it's just been consistent for the last 5-6 years. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. Now, I understand they're completely undermanned at linebacker. Oh, this is another good point. And I think Bart Scott raised this on the postgame show. Okay, Alex Ogletree. All right, they pick him off the street. They put him on the practice squad for less than a week. Then they sign him. And he's a starting linebacker, okay?
Okay.
You got Williamson, who led the team in tackles 2 years ago, all right? And he supposedly is healthy enough to play this week, all right? But he's doing spot duty. He's playing in garbage time towards the end of the game. He's a guy that knows the system. He's been on the team. He's a very good linebacker, and he knows what's going on. Why is he not starting if he's capable, then he must be capable because he's suited up and he played in garbage time. And why is Ogletree starting after he's been on the team for less than a week? There's something funky going on in that locker room and in that front office, and I don't know what the problem is, but there's some definite problems going on in there.
Oh, yeah. No, agreed, 100%. I mean, because it's just, it's bad. And, you know, the personnel situation's bad, the way that they, and again, it's just, what did you think of the comment that was made by Bradley McDougal?
Well, it's not just McDougal, but it was also Williamson. And I'm betting dollars to donuts that's the reason why he didn't start and Ogletree did, because he opened up his mouth to the press.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, you know, and then they all try to backtrack it and stuff. No. There's a problem. And yeah, you can hang a lot of this on the players. And quite candidly, that team was defeated going into the fourth quarter. That defense was defeated going into the fourth quarter. And what they got in the fourth quarter was just garbage time. But, you know, there's something going on. And the players, I think, are really starting. The Rats are trying to climb to the top and save themselves for next year.
I
think that the veterans are seeing what's going on. And I think that's why you saw a couple of those comments. Yeah, they're out of frustration. But these guys are saving their bacon for next year, and it's going to become more pervasive as this thing keeps going down.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, it's so bad that what you just wonder is like, okay, and you know, with Adam Gase, there's always a reaction if something is a critical, or there's always an overreaction. But I mean, basically, they've wasted the 4 years with Sam Darnold. Wasted it.
Yep.
What do you think they? Because I was even thinking about this. I've been comparing it to like Jim Plunkett, because remember how bad it was for Jim Plunkett in New England?
In New England, yeah.
And so
it was terrible. The poor guy took a beating.
Right.
A beating. You know, and that was before all the salary cap and everything else. But yeah, that was the worst. I felt so bad for that guy because, you know, I watched him in almost his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked the guy coming out of college, out of Stanford, but, you know, with great backstory with his parents and everything else. But, you know, you were pulling for him, but that team was just so atrocious, and that poor guy just took a beating week after week after week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing the same thing with Darnold. I mean, the talent is there. I mean, he's running at like, you know, 14 miles an hour on a full sprint to the right, and he drops that ball right between the 8 and the 9 and Herndon's chest, and he can't hold on to it, you know, as he's diving in the end zone for the touchdown. You know, I mean, the talent is there. You know, part of the problem is, they keep forcing Darnold to play in the pocket when this kid is just magic out on the run. Put him in motion. Let him run. You know, Gase, I don't know what the hell he's doing. You know, he goes for it on third and one, runs the ball up the middle. You know, they're on like the 12-yard line, 14-yard line. Then he goes for it on fourth down. I'm good with that. You're already down, you know, a touchdown or two, and your team stinks. Go for it. But what does he do? Runs almost the same damn play, runs it right up the middle, where they're not getting much penetration at that point, and then you don't make it. Then later in the game, okay, they're down by three touchdowns, all right, and yeah, they've got 7 yards to go. It's like seven and goal, and he kicks a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to lose at that point in time? You know, I'm just not understanding the mindset that's going. There's nothing consistent, and I just feel that, you know, Gase, who's supposed to be developing Darnold, is not exploiting what Darnold does best. He's still trying to crunch Darnold into this conservative dink and dunk offense of Gase's, and I think it's just not serving the kid well at all.
Mm-hmm.
Exploit what he does well, and you should have figured that out by now. Jesus, even I can figure that out, but he's not doing it, and he just points fingers at everybody else. And I don't know how much longer you watch this nonsense, but I think you raised the best question: is when do you pull the plug?
Yeah, no, I think it. And both he and Matt Patricia seem like they're almost on overtime to be able to keep their jobs, because Patricia's, you know, and again, the problem obviously with the Jets is offense. Gase is an offensive coach. Problem with Patricia,
yeah,
he's a defensive coach, and that's where the problem is.
Yeah, that's very odd. I think it's his personality problems, quite frankly. And they're trying, again, they're trying to be the smartest kid in the classroom and saying that my system will work, but you have to have the players to fit your system. And the mark of a good coach is to adapt. You know, adopt what you have and adapt what you have to the field. And, you know, Gase just isn't doing that, and he's just constantly pointing fingers. It's like, dude, you know, this is what I wanted to see this year in Gaze. I knew they were going to stink. We all knew they were going to stink. But are you going to change your ways, you know, adapt your plan to the talent that you have? And, yes, you've got a lack of talent. We all know this. But adopt, you know, and do what Darnold does best. And he refuses to do that. And that's the problem I have with Gaze. It's the same thing week after week, and you don't have the personnel for it. And that's not the trait of a winning coach.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think Patricia has the same problem.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. There's no doubt about that. Well, Jet, hang in there, because right now they are now the worst team in football.
And they're going to remain that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see any way out of this anytime soon. And their schedule is brutal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, look at that schedule. Who are they going to beat? You know, one of the worst teams they have is, what, Denver?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, you know, the Dolphins, quite honestly, don't look that bad.
No, I know they do. No, I mean, Jacksonville, you can see how bad their defense is. Miami was terrible in the first two games.
My point is, as far as the lower tier of the league,
yeah,
or you compare the Dolphins to the Jets, you know, or you compare the Dolphins to Jacksonville,
right?
The Dolphins are better.
Yeah, well, they beat them, that's for sure, and beat them on the road.
Yeah.
So hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
All right, send that Prozac, man. I'm okay. In need.
I know you do. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you and the Mrs. Dawn?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, John, this Seahawk game tomorrow, are you going to be in the stadium or going to be at home?
I'll be at home. I'll be doing the sideline, the Cowboys sidelines, but I'll be doing it from home.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. Hey, John, did you happen to see any of the highlights of the Steeler game?
Yeah, some. Yeah. They're looking good.
Yeah, they are. Their defense didn't play up to par. They gave up a lot of yards late in the game.
Yeah, but that's the league right now. I mean, I think people were going a little bit crazy about, like, the Seahawks. You know, it's like, okay, so the Seahawks have given up more yards than any. They've had double-digit leads in two games.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are pretty much in the same boat.
Yeah.
The yards thing, and that's just a byproduct of the fact that you know, offenses are ahead of defenses right now, and you know, if you give up meaningless yards, you know, you may care about the stats, but you care more about the win.
Yeah,
like the Bronco game was never really in question at any time.
Yeah. Hey, John, one quick thing: is this going to be the year that Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be the number one receiver?
Yeah.
He's not acting like it.
Who, Juju Smith?
Yeah.
It's off to a great start.
Well, I like this Claiborne kid.
No, and he's good.
Oh, man.
I thought that was a steal, because when I saw them make that choice as the draft was going on, I said, you watch, this big former tight end is going to do really well.
Yeah, he's got good feet work, too, man.
Mm-hmm,
he's a big
mm-hmm.
body, and he's got good hands. And he's from Notre Dame, so he's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, John, good talking to you.
All right, thank you.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Absolutely fabulous. It's a beautiful day in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Clayton, I hope, is doing wonderful, too.
She's doing well.
Oh, first of all, I've got to compliment you on Jet and pulling him back off the edge of the cliff today, Mr. Clayton.
He's in tough shape.
Oh, he's terrible, man. Goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that team is killing him, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
Anyway, Mr. Clayton, you know, last week was a fantastic week for my Irish players. You know, you mentioned Claypool. Imagine the jerseys weren't the colors they were in that game, Pittsburgh. And I just saw Claypool do what he was doing at Notre Dame all the time in that fabulous 84-yard catch and run for a touchdown, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
He's going to do a lot more of those. He was an outstanding wide receiver at Notre Dame, Mr. Clayton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's what they are. Aren't they looking for in the NFL these days, these big, tall, lanky wide receivers?
They are, yeah, yeah.
And the new phrase is what, the 50-50 ball?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, where they got these kids jumping out of their shoes and fighting and taking that ball away from the defenders?
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
Yes, sir. And how about that Denver game? That Denver Kansas City game.
Yeah. By the way, you're not mentioning the Irish today.
Well, they had to postpone the game.
Because who were the bad boys that got the positives?
You know, they can't release the names. But I would imagine, let's say, underclassmen, maybe a couple of freshmen, we're thinking, and it's a small group of guys, but the thing is contagious, and judgment was, why not, you know? Mm-hmm. Super, super lesson for the team as far as understanding discipline and the need to stay focused and, not be partying till the end of the season. That's all, you know. Yeah, it's disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. They'll be back. They've got a big game coming up against Florida State in 2 weeks. Next week is off. That's why they did. It was perfect timing. If you're going to have a problem, why not have it when you can deal with it and not affect you, not cancel the season for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Clayton, how about back to NFL? Because I had a bunch of NFL players in week two here that were outstanding. You know that Jerry Tiller kid, defensive lineman?
From the Chargers,
Denver game?
Yeah.
You'd think he was wearing a Kansas City jersey. He was in their backfield so much that game, Mr. Clayton. He was outstanding. Blocked a point after attempt. And tight ends. You know, Notre Dame has always been considered one of the tight end universities for pro players. And proved out in that second week. Tyler Elfer got a TD. Cole Kmet, rookie. Bears got a TD. Julian Love, wide, a defensive back, got an interception.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys, and speaking of the Cowboys, you know, they have a couple of Irish players on their roster. Jalen Smith, the linebacker who miraculously came back, and Jerry Jones, the owner, was smart enough to recognize, like your previous caller just said, Notre Dame has exceptional athletes, and they gave this kid, who was all world coming out of Notre Dame, except for that terrible, terrible knee injury he had. He's in town for the game, and of course, Zach Martin, that nasty.
Hey, guy, but I got to run.
And Mr. Clayton, you have a great day, and go on.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks for Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Thank you.
Hey, a couple questions. Oh, it hurts having Sutton gone for the season. He was one of the keys of that offense, opening up that thing for Judy and Fant.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
and now Judy's questionable for the game.
Yeah, what was his
hamstring ailment? I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's been set for a couple drops. His offense's ability is pretty good. What do you think of that quarterback, the one that stepped in for Locke?
Not great. I mean, he's okay. I mean, again, just a back. I mean, what do you think they thought of him? I mean, they end up taking Ripien and pulling him off the practice squad, and then they also signed Blake Bortles.
Yeah, well, Bortles, he's a joke. I don't know how he's still in the NFL, the way his motion is on throwing-wise. But
the injuries are just brutal for what's going on with that team.
Yeah, it sucks. You were saying, even with the Steelers game, Denver was close to winning the game with, 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. They were at the 20-yard line. They just couldn't convert on that fourth down. But the main question is, what's your thought of the right tackle so far? From what I've seen, and I haven't been watching the games over, but he seems like to be doing a real good job.
Yeah, I think they did well on that one. That's turned out pretty well.
You think
I'm still concerned about Bowles, though, at left tackle.
Oh, that's what I'm sorry. That's what I was saying. Bowles seems to be playing well. The right tackle's giving up plays all the time.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Juwan Jones?
Yeah.
James.
Yeah, but Bowles seems to be improving his game, and I haven't seen a penalty on him except for one. I don't think.
Well, the good thing is, league-wise, they're not calling a lot of penalties. I think that's a good thing.
All right, John. Hey, you
okay,
take care,
Victor.
Buddy.
Thank you. Let's go to Riley in Maple Valley as we try to speed up here. Hey, Riley.
Hey, John. I was just curious. What do you think about the Seahawks defense? Because every year it seems like we see a hot smoking offense, and then in the playoffs they get shut down by the running game and the team's defense. So you think that could be the killer for the Seahawks in the future?
I mean, they'll get better. It's just that they're going through a stretch right now where, you know, a lot of the defenses are getting burned because you got quarterbacks that are hotter than the defenses. I mean, the key still comes down and is still the big question mark. Is there enough pass rush? And right now you have to say the answer is no. And, of course, if Benson Mayoa is not going to play, we all know Rasheem Green's out. You know, they still need to get more pass rush. Now, this week, things could get better if they end up getting Damon Snacks Harrison at defensive tackle, and I think they will. So it's just a work in progress, but it's a work league-wide. I mean, look at Dallas. You know, look at Green Bay. I mean, look at Minnesota. I mean, Atlanta. I mean, look at all the teams in the NFC right now. Very few of them are doing well. It's just a league-wide thing. Defenses are behind offenses. Hey, Riley, thank you. Let's go quickly to DJ in Belfair. Hey, DJ.
I'm wondering about Brandon Snyder stepped down a couple of weeks ago from the Seahawks. Is he back with the team or what's his status?
Who's that again?
Brandon Snyder, special teams coordinator.
Yeah, no, he's not back yet. He had some personal thing that he was dealing with. And so, you know, he has remained out and not there. So, you know, Larry Izzo has been taking over. But we still don't know what's going on with Snyder. Good guy, good coach. Hope they can get him back. Hey, DJ, thank you. Thank everybody. Matt Nelson, thank you. And I'll be back on Monday at 10. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.